Grateful that we can stand here one more time and share a truth from your word that only you could bring. And I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit will speak to every heart that's here today. And we'll examine ourselves today and find out, God, just where we are with you. And I just ask you, Lord, to help us. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, my Lord and my God. I know, God, that heaven and earth is going to pass away. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. And I also know that your word, you said, will never pass away. And so we thank you, God, for this incredible word. We thank you, God, for every word, every scripture that we're going to be sharing today. Because it's important what you say, not what I say. So help us, God, to expound on what you say today to us. Have your way in our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen. In your notes, your sermon notes, I just gave you a simple outline that almost the same thing that I have that you can just follow along. You can write something in if you like to, but you don't have to if you don't want to because I wrote it all out for you. And so just if you follow along, I would like you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. And we're going to talk about another truth that God has for us in his word. Genesis chapter 3, we're going to look at one verse in Genesis, and then we're going to surround it with quite a few verses. And that's the way to do it. Amen? Yeah. Verse 9 says, and I'm going to use the New Living Translation. I'm going to share some words in the New King James where I learned them, or the King James, but everything on the screen is going to be in the New Living Translation because it just blessed me. I read it in every translation, and it just made so much sense to me, and that's what I want you to see today. But then the Lord God called to the man, which was Adam, and he says, "Where are you?" Genesis is the book of beginnings. We know that. The word Genesis actually means beginnings. And thus we have the beginning of the universe. The first scripture, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we have the beginning of the universe. We have the beginning of the life forms that God made. And we also then have the beginning of man. But when it comes to man, we find that he is vastly different from all the other forms that God created. For with all the other life forms, the Bible says God spake them. He spoke them. And they existed. But with man, the Bible says God formed man out of the dust of the earth. So that actually, man actually became God's handiwork. The scriptures tell us that we are his workmanship. We need not be ashamed. We are God's handiwork. And though he may speak other creatures into existence, but when it comes to man, there's a molding and there's a shaping by the hand of God as he forms man to much like his own image and in his own likeness, the scripture says. And then the Bible says that God breathed into that dust the breath of life. And I told Kathy, we were singing that song, "It's Your Breath in Our Hearts." So we pour, and I said, they're taken right out of my scripture, right out of there. Because that's what the Bible says. All it was, all we were was a piece of dirt out of the dust of the ground until God breathed the breath of life. And man became, the scripture says, a living soul. So that tells me that there is a touch of God on every man today. There is a definite distinction between the body that God formed on the earth and the life that God imparted into that body. So number one on your sheet, so that man is really the spirit that God breathed into that body, the breath of life. The body is just a dwelling place. It's just a house in which man was to live. But man is truly spirit. He said, if we're created in the image of God, the Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if God's a spirit and we're created in his image, then we are spirit. We have a soul, a mind, a consciousness, and we live in a body. Amen. We find that the man created in the likeness of God, number two, was also created for fellowship with God. And there's something beautiful about this story as we read it. When we read this story, can you imagine reading and Adam saying, Adam heard God as he walked in the garden in the cool of the day. Isn't that something? He heard God walking with him in the garden in the cool of the day. God came down to commune with his creation. And what a beautiful picture that is. And then all of a sudden, it becomes a tragic picture. If we continue to read in Genesis 3:10, it says, and Adam hid himself from the presence of God. Now, why would Adam seek to hide himself from the presence of God? This is unusual. This is unusual behavior. It's almost like neurotic behavior. Why would he do that? Why would Adam seek to hide himself from the presence of God? Well, it was because Adam, at that point, possessed a guilty conscience. Anybody ever have a guilty conscience? My father used to tell me that all the time. You do something wrong, are you guilty? You got a guilty conscience? So I know what that, I mean, that's what it is. Come on, I'm not only the only one here. I know you all had must have had guilty consciences sometime in your life. But that's what happened with Adam. He had a guilty conscience, and you know what? It's foolish. It was for him to even try to hide himself from the presence of God. Even as we read in the Psalms, David wrote, he understood the foolishness of trying to hide himself from God. Look at what it says in Psalm 139, one of my favorite Psalms. Listen to what it says. It says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell in the furthest ocean, even there, your hand will guide me. I can't escape from the presence of God. I can't. And yet, it's interesting that whenever I feel guilty, there seems to be a different kind of behavior, almost like a neurotic behavior, you know, in me, inside me, that thinks maybe I can hide from God. Maybe I can hide my guilt from God. And I try to hide from the presence of God. And I'll just say this. I believe that there are a lot of people that don't go to church or that don't come to church today because they have a guilty conscience. And they figure that they can stay away from church and hide from the presence of God. I'll stay home today, you know, as though God just dwelt in the church, you know. If I just stay home and close the doors, shut the blinds, you know, he can't find me. Okay. But the Apostle Paul said something in Acts chapter 17, verse 28. He said this, for in him we live, and we move, and we exist. That's what Paul said. Look at what Daniel said in Daniel chapter 5, verse 23, again in the New Living Translation. He said this as he was rebuking Belshazzar for those charges for his sacrilege. He declared unto him, but you have not honored the God who gives you the breath of life and controls your destiny. That's what Daniel said. You haven't honored the God that your very breath, that breath that you just took, God gave you that breath. Your breath in our heart. This is just, when you sang that song, I was like, here we go. But this is what Daniel is telling Belshazzar. The God in whom your very breath is, he has control of that. So you might say the only way you can escape from God is to stop breathing. But then, even then, you don't escape from him, do you? Not even then, because you'll enter into a more clearer consciousness of his presence at that moment than you ever did before. So can you escape from the presence of God? I don't think so. There is no escaping from God's presence. It's foolish to even think that we can escape from God. But, and to me, that's very interesting because psychologists tell us that the most neurotic behavior patterns stems from a guilt complex. Isn't that something? And it all began with Adam. Adam was guilty. He felt a consciousness of his guilt, and he tried to hide himself from the presence of God. But when we ask ourselves, what caused it, Adam? What caused that guilt? Number five on your program is, it was his disobedience to the command of God. It was his disobedience. And as we look over the overall story, when we read this overall story, we realize that the commandment of God was given to Adam for his own welfare and for his own good. You know why? Because God knew the poison that was in that tree. He knew it. Now, Adam was deceived. And that's an important point. You need to know, Adam was deceived into thinking that God wasn't interested in his best welfare, but that somehow God was trying to hold him back from something pleasurable. He was trying to hold him back from something that was a desirable experience. Somehow God didn't quite understand Adam's real need in his life, and Adam really knew better for what would make him happy than God did. And so Adam, deceived, thought that he could find a better quality of life, that God was somehow trying to hold him back by these commandments. But you know what? In reality, God knew what he was talking about. And Adam was wrong. Adam was wrong. And when Adam ate of that fruit, he could not reverse his action. He could not go back and be unguilty. But he discovered to his dismay that God was right all along. You know what? There are men today, like Adam, choosing not to fulfill the law of God, choosing not to obey the commands of God or the word of God, and they look upon the law of God as being very restrictive. God's word wants to just restrict me. God is trying to hold back from me. He's trying to keep me from what I know will really make me happy. I know what will make me happy better than God knows will make me happy. He's trying to keep me from having a good time, and I know what will make me happy. Let me tell you something today. God doesn't care about you making you happy. God cares about making you holy. The Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see God. Not without happiness. And if God can make you even a little holy, you'll be the happiest person on this planet. And men today are still willing to violate the law of God, thinking that they know better than God for their own lives, only to discover that once they've violated the law of God, it is irreversible. I can't go back and undo what I've done. And I realized that God was right all the time. But now I'm guilty, and I have a sense of guilt. I try to avoid God, and I try to hide from God. But worse than that, I lost fellowship with God. I've lost contact with God, and my life becomes empty. My life becomes purposeless. My life is dead. I've lost fellowship with God. Listen, the purpose of God in coming into the garden was fellowship. And the restoration of fellowship. And so when God came into the garden, Adam hid himself, and God cried. He cried out, Adam, where are you? That was not the call of an arresting officer. That was a heart cry. That was the heart sob of a loving father whose child has gone astray. Where are you? Where are you? Listen, it's wrong to assume that man does not know the truth about himself. Because deep down inside, each of us are aware of where we are. Now, we do spend a lot of our lives trying to cover and conceal the truth that we know about ourselves, because we would be embarrassed if other people knew about us what we know about ourselves. And so much of life is spent in a facade, trying to create an image for other people to behold, and wanting them to admire us, and wanting them to look up to us, and wanting them to think well of us, and yet doing our best to disguise the truth that we know about ourselves. This clever kind of deception of man is sometimes so well carried off that man becomes guilty of deceiving himself about himself. The Bible speaks about those that have deceived themselves. They deceive themselves, and it says, and the truth is not in them. Look what it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar, and he's not living in the truth. You can say that all you want. I know God, but if you're not obeying God's commands, the Bible says you're a liar, and you're not even living in the truth. And you actually begin to think, well, God doesn't really care. He doesn't really care. You know, has God really said, isn't that what the devil said to Eve? God, come on, has God said, God didn't say you'll surely die. He just doesn't want you to be like him. Has God said, or, you know, surely I can continue in this and not lose out in my relationship with God. Surely I can violate his laws and it won't have any effect on me. Surely somehow I can escape from the judgment of God. And man begins to deceive himself. But deep down inside, we're not fooled. We're not fooled. Deep down inside, the Spirit of God is crying out, where are you? Where are you? Really? Where are you? We try so hard to hide the truth. And we may be successful in hiding the truth from other men, but we can't hide it from ourselves. It will always have a way of working itself out in other forms and emotional disturbances or other kind of neurotic behavior patterns, but or some manifested form. But the truth will always surface. But it's always wrong to think that I can hide the truth from God. You can't. The Bible says everything is naked and open before him with whom we have to deal. Look at what it says in Hebrews 4:13. In the NLT, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. You see that? Is that what it says? Nothing is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one whom we are accountable. And see, there's the key right there. Nobody wants to be accountable to anybody. I don't have to answer to anybody. Well, you will someday. And you will answer to God someday. So I think that I'm hiding from God. Just to think that is just foolishness on my part. When God's cry comes to me today and says, where are you? The next thing on your list is, I can only be in two places. Number six, I can either be in fellowship with him or out of fellowship with him. But God desires and yearns that I have a full, rich fellowship with him because he knows the benefits that are mine by fellowshipping with God. And God desires that you share his life and share his glory, and so that he, instead of just discarding you, instead of just discarding Adam, God came to him and said to him, where are you? Rather than God forsaking you and walking away and saying, hey, well, look, hey, man, you had your chance. That's it. That's it. He doesn't do that. He comes to you and he says, where are you? In order that you might see yourself and evaluate yourself, as the scripture says, if a man will judge himself, he will not be judged of God. Therefore, let a man examine himself. That's what the Word of God says. That's one of my messages this morning. Examine yourself. Where are you? With Adam, his sin had created a breach that separated him from God. And so the story of beginnings throughout the beginning of sin and the beginning of man's alienation from God. Because sin always alienates a man from God. The prophet Isaiah said, God's hand is not too short that he cannot save, Neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your sins have separated you from your God. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2 in the NLT. Look at what it says on the board. It says, listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save, nor is his ear too deaf to hear you call. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. See, that's always the effect of sin in my life. That broken fellowship, that alienation from God. But God comes and he says, where are you? And because God seeks to restore you, he has made provisions for your sin. And that which Adam lost in the garden, that life of God and that fellowship with God has been restored to you through faith in Jesus Christ. Where are you? Well, you know better than anybody else. But here's what I want to say to you. Where you are, you do not have to remain. You can find forgiveness. There is forgiveness. God has made the possibility of the reversal of past actions. God has made the possibility of the elimination of past guilt. God has made such a provision of forgiveness that the past is made as though it has never existed before, in order that you might know the glory and the blessing and the joy of fellowshipping with God. God has made provision for your forgiveness. Adam, where are you? Where are you today? Are you walking in harmony and fellowship with God, or do you find yourself alienated from that life of God? May we examine our hearts, and may the Spirit of God search us, the scripture says. Search me, O God. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, but lead me in the way that's everlasting. Search me, O God, and know us, and show us God's best. Listen, the life that is out of fellowship with God is out of harmony with its own nature. Because God has created you for fellowship. Out of harmony with your own nature is a natural restlessness of that man that is apart from God. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 57, the wicked is like a troubled sea tossed to and fro. Therefore, there is no rest, saith the Lord, for the wicked. Look at what it says on the screen in the NLT. But those who still reject me are like the restless sea, which is never still, but continually churns up mud and dirt. There is no peace for the wicked, says my God. And yet, rest for your soul is exactly the thing that Jesus has promised to you if you would just come to him. And we used to have this verse right across this marquee on this platform. It's Matthew 11, chapter 11, verse 28 and following. Look at what it says. Then Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. All you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Because I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The burden I give you. People tell me, oh, it's tough. You know, it's a hard burden, it's a heavy burden. Well, if it's a heavy burden, it's not God's, it's yours. And you need to just dump it. Come to the altar and dump it. Say, God, I can't handle this. I want your burden. Your burden is light. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it used to be, Kathy, one of my wife's favorite verses. Verse 17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. I learned it. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. You can close your Bibles. I just want to ask you, is your mind troubled today by your life, by your world around you, or the turmoil that we see in our society that causes all this turmoil in our life? And we're wondering, you know, what is it all coming to? And you know, where is it all going? What should I do? How can I escape all these things, that all these problems that have been put on us by our present day society? How am I going to handle all this? It's good to know that there is a place of refuge, a place of strength, a place of fellowship with God. And even though the world around us are going crazy, and the mountains, it says, be cast, even though they be cast in the midst of the sea, I do not fear, because God is with me. His presence, his power, his love to protect me and to guide me and to sustain me. So my question to you today, where are you? Adam, where are you? Are you walking in fellowship with God today? Or are you trying to hide from him? Or is there a part of your life that you're trying to hide from God? Trying to hide from God is sheer folly. And you're doomed for failure. You'll never hide from him. It's better that you fellowship with him than trying to hide from him. Amen? I'd like the worship team to come back. We're going to just conclude. I just want the Spirit of God to speak to your heart as we pray. Our Father, we thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit in our hearts this morning. God, when you laid this message on my heart, I thought, God, search me. Don't let there be anything in me that you don't want there. As we seek to reveal just who we are in our relationship to you, Father, help us now that we might come into that place of restoration, to have a restored fellowship with you, God, through the forgiveness of my sins and the blotting out of my sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because that's the only way I can come. And God, there may be someone here today, there may be many here today, that say, God, there's areas in my life that I really haven't surrendered to you. Or there's my life that I haven't surrendered to you. And you're asking me today, this becomes personal to me. Where are you? God is calling you today. Where are you? God's calling your heart today. If you've never answered that call, if you've never said, God, I'm here. I don't want to hide anymore. I want to be your child. I want to be your son. I want to be your daughter. I want to lay aside this weight, this sin that is besetting me. I can't run the race with the sin hanging on me. I want to come to you today. I know you know where I am. And I know where I am. So God, help me to humble myself. The Bible says, humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So if you're here today and you never made that commitment to God and humbled yourself before the mighty hand of God, you can do that right now. I can pray a simple prayer. We're going to pray this prayer. And if it means something to you, let the Holy Spirit touch your heart today. So can everybody just pray this prayer with me? Just say, Father, Everybody, come on, say, Father, I come to you now in Jesus' name. I know you died for my sins, and Jesus shed his blood to set me free. Would you come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior? And let me walk with you in the cool of the day. Let me hear your word that I read in the scriptures. Let them come alive in my life. And I thank you, God, for hearing my prayer today. In Jesus' name, give the Lord a hand of praise right now. Amen.